chapter 20. Go to verse number 30. John chapter 20, verse number 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us today. I pray that we would listen to you. Lord, you've written your word that we might have understanding, and Lord, we need that understanding. So I pray that you would give it to us this morning, guide and direct, in Jesus' name. Amen. As John, the apostle, nears the end of his gospel, he tells us why he wrote it in the first place. He wants his readers to know who this Jesus really is. And he wants them to believe in him as their Savior. Now, believe. That's a word that we misuse today. Believe. You know, I've talked to people, and I've talked to people about Christ, about sin, about the Bible, about church, and I often get a, oh, I believe that. Do they really believe it? It just kind of, oh, I believe that. Is that what John's talking about when he says that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ? Is that what he's talking about? Go to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. Verse number 19. James chapter 2, verse number 19. He's talking about this kind of believe. Oh, I believe that. James chapter 2, verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, if we were to talk about Jesus Christ to the demon crowd, do you know what they would say? Oh, I believe that. Oh, I believe that. We could ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? What would their answer be? Yes. We could ask the demons, do you believe that Jesus Christ came to earth, God manifest in the flesh? Do you believe that? What would they say? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ lived a perfectly holy, sinless life? What would they say? Yes. Because they tried their best to get him not to. If you were to ask the demons, do you believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross and sacrificially sacrificed himself for the sins of mankind, what would they say? Yes. If you ask the demon crowd, if they believe that Jesus Christ victoriously rose from the grave the third day, what would they say? Yes. Whoa. Guess what? They believe just like you do. Or do they? What's the difference there? There's a little bit difference in the word believe. John writes here, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, and that believing that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, that he is the anointed one of God, you might have life through his name. There's a little bit more to the believing there than simply, oh yeah, I believe that, Pastor. This kind of believing changes your life. John tells us what his whole book is about at the end. So in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and go back there, in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, he lays before us three undeniable facts concerning this Jesus and then proves them through the balance of this book. He tells us exactly who he is. So in John chapter 1, verse number 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He begins by telling us the first fact, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, is the first phrase there. In the beginning was the Word. This in the beginning actually predates Genesis 1:1's in the beginning. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Where we're told in verse number 3 that Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So therefore, he was around when Genesis 1:1 took place. So John chapter 1, verse number 1, predates Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Before the creation, before everything was made, Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ before the creation. The Greek word translated was indicates continuous existence. It means he always was, he is, and he always will be. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word. He goes on to say, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. He was with God in eternity. Verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Same was in the beginning with God. The word with there carries the idea of both equality and intimacy. Equality and intimacy. Before the beginning, in the beginning, before creation, Jesus Christ was always, is always, always will be, but he was with God. They were equal and intimate in that relationship. He was with God. He was with God in creation. We already touched on it. Look at it again. Verse number 3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. Amen. Go back to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, interesting here, the word for God is the Hebrew word Elohim. Now, whenever you see an I am ending on a Hebrew word, it means plural. A seraph, plural is seraphim. A cherub, cherubim. You get the idea there? So Elohim is a plural word. And yet, if you know anything about the Jewish faith, it is solely monotheistic. There is one God. And that's taught throughout the Word of God. There is one God. And yet, God says that his name is plural. Go to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the creep, and over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Look at the us, our. He's not talking to the angels there. This is the Trinity talking. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God in three distinct persons. Can we really understand that? No. But the Bible teaches it clearly. Jesus Christ is God. He is one with God. Go to Colossians chapter number 1 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, go to verse number 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Now let's go back to verse number 15. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. The word firstborn there is not speaking first in chronological order. The word there means he is above everything. He is the first of everything. He wasn't the first created. He did the creating. He is above everything there is. We're told by him, by Jesus Christ, all things were created. Not only were they created by him, they were created, verse number 15, 16, for him. Wow. And by him, everything's held together. It all consists. Why? In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God manifest in the flesh. Back in John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is what we read. The Word was God. Literally, God was the Word. John isn't arguing. He's simply stating fact. The Word and God are the same. The Word was God. God was the Word. Jesus Christ is God. Amen. C.S. Lewis wrote it this way. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. This is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said that sort of things Jesus, who said the sort of things Jesus said, would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great moral teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You see, C.S. Lewis gives you three choices. Jesus Christ is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. Do you get that? That's just common sense. That's just logic. Those are the only three possibilities. He's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he is Lord. Let's say he's a liar. Everything he said was a lie from beginning to end. Because you got to remember, he claimed to be God. He claimed to be God's Son. He claimed to be the Savior of the world. And everything he said, if it was just some kind of an elaborate con, an elaborate scheme to gather these disciples and make himself a great name, he was a liar. And then they nailed him to a tree for being a liar. Don't you think at some point, with all of the beatings and the persecutions, he would have said, Hey, wait a minute, guys. I was lying. No, he held on to it to the end and then rose again the third day. You can call him a liar if you want to, but that goes against the facts. He's a lunatic. A lunatic. I like the way C.S. Lewis put it. He's, you know, on the same level as someone who thinks he's a poached egg. You go out this afternoon and you start to tell everybody that you are the Son of God. You start to tell everybody that you are Jesus, come again. And there have been a whole lot of people tried that over the years. You tell people, and you tell enough people, and you tell it often, and you'll find yourself with one of those nice jackets that you get to hug yourself, and they'll put you in a nice room that's soft all the way around, and you'll get to spend the rest of your life there because you will be certifiably crazy. So he's either a liar or he's a lunatic. Now, how many good men, how many great moral teachers, how many fine examples are liars and lunatics? Come on now. There aren't any. So that's foolish to think so. So if he is not a liar, if he's not a lunatic, then he is exactly who he claimed to be, Lord. Did you get that? Lord. Now, sum up in your mind all that that word means to you. It's not simply a title, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not simply something that we... He is Lord. He is master of the universe. It was all created by Him, and it was all created for Him. He is the Lord of the universe. This is what John is saying when he says that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. This is what he's saying. Not that you could say, oh yeah, I believe that. The devils believe. They acknowledge exactly who He is. They know who He is. They worshiped Him at one point. And yet they will never, ever submit to Him as Lord. Lord. But one day, every knee is going to bow. One day, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Do it now. Do it now. So before we continue, how are you living your life? Are you living your life? Remember, this entire series is about things to live and guide and direct my entire life on. Things that ought to be in the forefront of my mind all of the time. The Bible is the Word of God. God is God, and we're not. There's two places to go when you die, heaven and hell. And Jesus Christ is Lord. So He's Lord on Sunday. Is He not Lord on Monday? Or on Tuesday? Or on Wednesday? Or is He Lord, you know, for half a day on this day and three quarters of a day on that day and maybe 50% over here? Or is He Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what John said when he said, for you to believe it. Not just believe. I believe that. If Jesus Christ is who He said He is, and if you really believe it, it'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you behave. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you speak. It'll change the way you treat your wife, you treat your husband, you raise your kids. It will change everything about you, your relationship with your boss, your relationship with everyone you run into. It will change you completely because Jesus Christ is Lord. Not just on Sunday. Jesus is God. Go back to John chapter number 1. Verse number 14 tells us that Jesus became man. Jesus became man. And the Word was made flesh. The same Word in John chapter 1, verse number 1, that same Word that created everything, He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became flesh. God became man. Go to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians, chapter number 2. Verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That phrase actually refers to the first four verses of the chapter. And then the next verses we're going to read, beginning in verse number 6, tell us how Jesus Christ did that, what His mind was, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? We've already shown, already seen that he's the express image of God. He is, has all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him. He is God. And yet, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. Now, that's an old English word that we don't understand all that today anymore. We think of robbery. We think of someone holding a gun to you and sticking you up and taking all your money. The word robbery here means he didn't feel it was something that he had to hold on to at all costs. What? The outward manifestation of his Godhead. He was God. But he laid aside that Shekinah glory. He laid aside that outward manifestation, and he became a servant. He became one of us. Because had he thought it had to be grasped at all cost, he would have stayed in heaven and we would end up in hell. But he laid aside that outward manifestation of his deity and became man. Wow. God became man. Go to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Verse number 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He knows everything you go through. God became man so that he would not simply be able to sympathize, that he might be able to empathize with you. He knows everything you go through. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Because he suffered, he's able to succor you, to encourage you, to draw you close and say, it's going to be all right. I've endured this for you already. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Everything you go through, he has gone through. God became man. God had to have his diapers changed for you. You want to talk about humbling? That's humbling. God had to learn to walk and talk. God had to learn to obey. God had to learn to grow up with siblings in the house. God had to do everything you do. He did it all without sin. God had to face adversity. God had to face persecution. God had to face temptation. God had to face rejection. God had to face every single thing that you face, and faced them all without sinning in word or thought or deed. Amen. He did not sin. He knows our needs, he knows our pains, he knows our heartaches, and he not only sympathizes, he empathizes. I've been there, is what God says. Now, I've got good news. If you're here this morning, you're alive still. Can we get an amen to that? You have not faced death yet. Jesus Christ already faced that for you. And he came through on the other side. And he promised, if you believe in me, oh, not that. Oh, yeah, I believe that. If you believe in me, you will too. Amen. He came that he might feel our infirmities. But he came that he might die for our sins. He came that he might die for our sins. We read that, Hebrews chapter number 2. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ went to the cross. God took my sin. God took your sin. God took the sin of everyone, placed it on Christ, and then God poured out his wrath against sin on Jesus Christ, and he paid our sin penalty in full. Amen. His death wasn't an accident. His death wasn't a martyr's death. His death wasn't, oops, how did this happen? We ended up on the cross. No. It was planned before the foundation of the world. God knew that you would need a Savior. And Jesus Christ would die to save you. Amen. That's why God became flesh for you. Good news. He didn't stay dead. Amen. The third day, as I've said so many times, the most well-attested to fact in history. 3 days later, after his death, he rose again victoriously, triumphant over death. He is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. So number one, Jesus is God. Number two, Jesus became man. Number three, back in John chapter 1, Jesus reveals the Father. Jesus reveals the Father. John chapter number 1. Verse number 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath declared him. Go to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. God, verse number 1, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God spoke through prophets. God spoke through preachers. God spoke, but in the last days, his full and final revelation of himself was and is Jesus Christ. No man has seen God. Jesus has revealed him. Jesus shows us exactly what God is like, shows us what God thinks, shows us what God desires, shows us how God cares. Jesus Christ shows us who the Father is. You want to know what God is like? Read the Gospels. See how Jesus Christ lived. See how he related to people. See what he did. See how much he loved people and sought to save them, and see how much he hated sin. And would go to the cross that we might be saved. He cares. Go to John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. In the upper room, he's telling his disciples he's leaving them. He's going to go to the cross. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know." Thomas saith unto him. Now, I got to be honest with you. This is a dumb question. But I am so thankful he asked it. "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known the Father. Ye should have known the Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And then Philip makes another dumb statement. "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then show us the Father?" You can almost feel his heartbreak. "Philip, how could you have missed it? Philip, weren't your eyes open? I've been here the whole time. How can you say, show us the Father?" What's he saying there? "I'm God, and I'm showing you the Father." Jesus reveals what the Father is like, because Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. So, I've not said anything new today. Nothing you haven't heard before. Nothing outlandish, nothing outrageous, nothing clever. It's what the Bible teaches, clear, plain, and simple. The question is, does it affect you on Monday? What does it do your life the rest of today? What happens on Tuesday when something goes wrong? What happens on Wednesday when things don't turn out your way? What happens on Thursday when you smack your finger with the hammer? What happens on Friday when you get in a fight with your spouse? How does it affect the way you should live? It should. And if it doesn't, you're believing just like the devils believe, just like the demons believe. "Oh yeah, I believe that." No. Who is Jesus? Who is he really? He's God, manifest in the flesh to save your soul, and he is the Lord of Lords. And that should affect every part of your being for the rest of your life. If it doesn't, you don't believe it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together to share in your word. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon us that we cannot believe simply as the demons believe. They believe very orthodox. Lord, you're Lord, and that changes everything. I pray you'd work in our hearts I pray that you'd speak to us clearly, plainly, and show us how we need to submit wholly to you because of who you are. Lord, I pray that you would work in every heart, change every life, and I pray that no one would leave here the same. Lord, guide and direct in all these decisions. Work for your sake. If there's anyone among us who's not saved, show them they need to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior today. Lord, work for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, what has God spoken to your heart about? What has God said to you? What does he want you to do? No, it's not been in an audible voice, but through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has taken the Word of God and applied it to right where you live. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as a testimony of that fact. You're saved, you know it, put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. That's great. You can put your hands down. Amen. 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 Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to understand that he is Lord of your life. Oh, he's not a hard taskmaster. He's a loving Savior who laid his life down for you. Well, now he bought you. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He is Lord. And that should affect you every day, every moment of every day. You say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. I need to realize that every day. Not recognize it because I know it's true. I need to realize it, understand it, and live it. Pastor, God's spoken to me. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Yes. Amen. 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 Pastor, God has spoken to me today. Pray for me. Anyone else? Just put your hand up, put it back down. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that I've believed the way I'm supposed to believe that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know it. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. We love you here. We want to pray for you. Christ loves you. This God who became flesh for your sake loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's for you. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Anyone at all, just slip your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, thank you for this time that we've had together to share in your word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Now I pray that we would say yes to you completely, surrender all, bow our knee and say, you are Lord. And live every moment of every day that way. Lord, guide and direct in the decisions we make. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 320, 320. If God has spoken to your heart, if there's a decision that you're supposed to make, make it now. You can come down to the front and kneel and pour your heart out to God. You can do it where you're standing. If you need to speak to me, I'll be waiting for you right here, right now. What does God want you to do? What decision does he want you to make? Do it right now. On this first verse, while we sing, you talk to God.